Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Hi, Jack. Welcome to Conan O'Brien needs a friend.
Right when it started, he took a giant bite of an apple.
You know what I said about just be yourself? Don't be yourself, okay? Don't be yourself. Let me start by saying I apologize, Jack. Just as we were beginning, Matt Gourley, former member of our squad, took a giant bite of an apple, and it was very disconcerting. So let's start fresh. Jack, how are you? How are you, Jack?
First of all, is who eats an apple?
What do you mean, who eats an apple?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Like, who's eating that? If you're in a heavily mic'd, it's one of the most juicy, crunchy foods you can be eating.
Yes, thank you,
incorrect.
Jack.
Incorrect. You're supposed to eat an apple because it cuts down on your mouth noises.
No. The correct fruit is a banana, an overly ripe banana.
That just slides in.
Yeah.
It slides in.
Oh, trust me. Boy, does it slide in. Look. I think we got off on the wrong foot.
Excellent.
Wrong foot.
And I want to start again and start fresh and professionally. Jack, welcome.
Hello.
To the podcast. It's nice to see you. Tell us, where are you coming to us from?
I'm in Abingdon in England, just below Oxford.
Oh, that means very little to me. I've been to Oxford.
You've been to Oxford.
Yeah, I did a thing there. I did do a thing there, and I was arrested. they told me never do a thing here again. No, I've been to Oxford, but what's the name of your town?
So it's Abingdon. Well, it's Abingdon-on-Thames. That makes it really British.
Abingdon-on-Thames. So anything on Thames means it's basically the Thames goes right by your...
Yeah, that's it. The Thames is just over there from my house, basically. If I wanted to, I could run into it right now.
Well, okay. Now I
so let's see how things go.
I'll have to ask you to do that immediately. Do you always...
I can't swim.
That's okay. Really not my problem, Jack. It just makes for good... It makes for a good podcast.
Makes for great podcasting, yeah.
Jack, do you always wear a sweater that matches your background? I'm just curious. And are you are you hiding from a natural predator? These are all questions.
I thought you were just a floating head.
It's just my calm lighting.
Very nice.
Gives the appearance of an orange background.
You seem like a lovely fellow, Jack. I have many questions for you.
I seem it.
Yeah, you seem it. And now
but
you
there's,
can...
there's a lot going on you don't know about.
Oh, trust me. Trust me. I've found this often. I never like to say you are a lovely fellow because we've only been chatting for a few minutes. And you could be a terrible, terrible man for all we know.
I am.
Well, good. Wow. With your candor, we got right to the point. Jack, tell us about Abingdon-on-Thames. What kind of... I'm picturing a very beautiful Downton Abbey little town. Is that what it would be like?
One of Abingdon's kind of claims, we like to say we're the oldest town in England, but there are several towns that say that. And you can walk through kind of some streets and it's like you've got really old Georgian buildings and you're a bit like, wow, this is incredible. But then you walk a few feet and then it's nothing but cafes and Turkish barbers.
Well, here's the interesting thing. We live in Los Angeles. And the oldest structures in Los Angeles were built in 1987.
Come on.
It's really ridiculous. And people treat them like they're historic. They're like, oh, this is from Reagan's second term. Oh, wow. Be careful. Let's try and restore it.
How dare you.
So when you say oldest town in England, that is really saying something. Because that means it was probably the streets were laid out by the Romans. Am I correct?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm ignorant.
Oh, clearly I've given more thought to where you live than you have, Jack.
I think the streets were probably just like lines of dung and people have just laid claim. They're like, yeah, this is a town. We've got nice straight lines of...
You know what, Jack?
Animal excrement.
Jack, I would love to see you I wish you were the tour guide at Abingdon-on-Thames.
Yeah.
Right this way. Tell me about this street, Jack. Oh, probably just a trail of dung at one point. What's that interesting building over there? Oh, who knows?
It's just the dung house.
It's a pile of shite, as far as I'm concerned. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Jack. What do you do? What's your life like?
So I work for a charity called Yellow Submarine, mm-hmm. and we support people with autism and learning disabilities. My kind of specific role is kind of supporting mental health of the people we support in that charity. Right. But we do loads of things like social activities and vacations and job development. And we have two cafes where we do traineeships where we support with employment.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
That's a very, that's a fantastic service that you're providing. When did you know that this is what you wanted to do? Was this something you came to naturally, or?
I didn't literally fall into it, but when I was about 15 or 16, I was hanging out at a youth center, and a different charity that would do the similar kind of work were using it, that building, the youth center I was at, to do one of their youth clubs. And I kind of just ended up wandering into it, and it kind of took me on as a volunteer, even though I wasn't actually technically old enough to be a volunteer there. And I've basically just been doing it ever since.
That
was when I was like 15. So like 18 years or so now.
Okay. Well, if I could do the math, I'd know what age you are now, but that's just beyond me. I've gotten to an age where I've forgotten all the advanced formulas it takes to add 15 to 18.
Advanced formulas.
I'm sure there's a lot,
addition. It's simple addition.
Where's my slide rule?
We need some kind of high-powered computer to figure it out. My guess is you're in your mid-60s.
It feels like it.
You just take good care of yourself. Does it ever, I'm going to try to put this delicately, you live in this small, quaint town. Does it ever get a little too small and quaint for you? Do you ever wish that you could, do you ever feel like I need to bust out of here? There are too many thatched roofs, too many eel pies cooling on a shelf. Do you ever feel like I've got to get out of here?
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you live in a small town, you always kind of get that. But, you know, with Oxford being so close, you kind of have that kind of, I can go and be in a place where there are things that actually happen.
Right.
Like, Abingdon, we have a town crier.
What?
What?
Yeah.
You have a town crier?
No, we have a town crier.
And does he read the news? Does he ever say any news events, or is it just to tell you the time?
It's usually going to tell you, like, oh, there's an arts and crafts fair on.
Does he start
go check
with
that out?
Hear ye, hear ye?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, he's absolutely textbook.
Wow. So he says, hear ye, and then he says there's an arts and crafts fair over on, you know, Paddington Piddle Road in 10 minutes. That's the kind of thing he says?
Yeah.
Wow. And
don't forget to scrape the dung out your shoes.
Okay. Does he ever say anything salacious like hear ye? I hear, Colleen Havenhurst is pretty fast and loose with the fellas.
Not yet, but we can feed that information.
Well, I just think that
we can make it happen.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking more of like a TMZ town
like
crier.
Or what if he's having a bad day and he's like, my wife's a whore.
hear ye. I think my wife is stepping out on me. If you see that, biatch, let me know.
What do you think an L.A. town crier would say?
It depends on where you are in LA.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a lot of hear ye. Someone's overdoing it with the Botox She knows who she is. And then literally 175,000 women will think it's them.
Yeah. Our town criers are essentially people in town just crying.
Yeah. Oh. You're doing the right thing by staying there. Have you traveled to Los Angeles before?
I've not been to Los Angeles, but I have been to California. I worked up in North California, summer camp. It was actually at the same time. So we kind of had a bit of an exchange. So when you came to Oxford, I was over in California.
Yes.
So I think it's a one in, one out kind of situation.
Yes, what happened was I was invited, my cohorts may not know this, but I was invited to speak at Oxford. It was a high honor. And I went there, my wife and I, and we brought our kids as well. They didn't come to the talk, but my wife came, Liza came, and it was thrilling because the students were very smart and fantastic crowd. I had a great time. But you said that you specifically left the country when you heard I was coming.
Smart.
Well, I think it was more, I think it was kind of an exchange because I think we're of quite similar complexions. And we I think California is probably a fire risk to have us both there at the same time.
Because you guys are like too much tinder?
It's too much.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, we just combust.
Are you a ginger? I can't really quite.
Yes, I am.
You are a ginger. Okay.
That's what I blend into the background as well as my jumper.
Yeah.
It's also my entire being.
I love that. I love that. You see, that's why we're different. I'm, of course, of Irish descent. You're English, and we both have the same complexion. I never, ever have worn an orange sweater in my life because I felt like I can't. I'm a ginger. You just said, I'm going for it. Balls to the wall.
And
who
it
cares?
Looks good.
And it looks good on
all
you.
All in. Yeah. Gotta go all in. Ginger balls to the wall.
Excuse me?
Well, wait a minute. I've done that.
Okay.
I've done that, Jack, and it's a mistake. I did that. I did ginger balls to the wall. It was in a bus station in Newark. And again, not worth getting into. But
is there a little plaque?
Well,
Conan's balls were here.
Yes, I've asked that a plaque be, I was going to say erected, but I'm not going to.
There's a sack on a plaque in a bus station.
Okay. This is a wonderful, that's the E.E. Cummings poem that was never published. Jack, you seem like you are a very nice man. I'm not going to say seem. I declare you a very nice man doing very good work. And I'd like to see your town. I'd like to visit the town crier and make a few suggestions to the town crier. Maybe he could freshen up his act a little bit.
You would be a good town crier, I think.
I think I would be a good town crier.
I can see you in the hat. I don't know why. The tri-corner hat, I feel like that's just something that would work for you.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, and there were lots of tri-corner hats. Because I grew up in 1774. No, people would every year to celebrate our battle against your evil empire. We no offense, but to sort of free ourselves from your horrific Vader-like clutches, people would put on tri-corner hats and reenact scattering the redcoats at Concord and Lexington. So I grew up with that, and I think I'd be very comfortable in that kind of garb, and I would be a very good town crier.
I just want to – I'm Welsh, so we like to distance ourselves from the English.
Oh, my God. I love
so,
it.
So when you – so, yeah, feel free to paint that picture of the English being
– Were you born in Wales?
I wasn't born there, but I grew up there. I grew up on in a place called Barry Island, which is where Gavin and Stacey's set.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense to me. So you were raised in Wales and probably had a little bit of attitude towards the English, yes?
Yeah. Basically, anyway, in the UK, Irish, Scottish, and Welsh were all like, oh, no, thank you. We don't really like you.
Wow.
Obviously, individually.
Okay. Wow,
individually.
Really slam, man. That's, walk it back a little.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, Jack, you've just put it out there. Oh, easy. What time are you drinking? What is that you just had?
So this is something called Red Stag. It's like a cherry bourbon with Coke.
Okay. Well, I guess there's a time difference between us because I wanted to have a cherry.
25 past eight.
I wanted to have a cherry stag about an hour ago, and people reminded me that it was 11 in the morning.
Cherry Stag would be a good nickname for you.
Oh,
I think it would be. Yes, I like that. I'm cherry.
You were trying to think of a drag name.
That's
Cherry, Cherry Stag. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. I'm a red running stag.
Oh.
No?
Oh. You ruined it.
You did a little. What?
I think you ruined it should be my catchphrase.
Ruined it.
I'm being schooled by a guy in Abington on Thames right now, and I deserve it. No, I'd like to come and tell. What are your hobbies? What do you like to do in your spare time when you're not working?
So I'm part of a ukulele group, but I play bass.
Hold on a sec. So you play the bass in a ukulele band. How many ukuleles are there?
sometimes we can do a show and there'll be about 30 people playing at the same time.
Do you realize that that's technically that's Dante's lowest level of hell is 30 ukulele players at the same time, but one bass player. Is there you're the coolest person in a ukulele band. Congratulations.
It's very rare for a bass player to be the coolest one as well. So
I disagree.
I'll say that.
I always think of the bass player.
I think our coolest person, we've got someone who plays a washboard.
Oh.
You know, like, yeah.
Are you sure they're not actually just washing? Sometimes people are mistaken for, oh my God, you play a mean washboard, and they're just really trying to clean clothes in the 19th century.
Incredibly clean fingertip.
Yeah, I would imagine. What's the name of the band?
Oxford Ukuleles.
Okay.
Oh, you too.
Sometimes, if we have enough people, it depends how many people are playing. If we have, like in the occasions when we have 30, we're the Oxford Ukulele Big Band. So we kind of fluctuate with our names.
Huh. I think you should work Red Stag into it.
Yeah, Cherry Stag.
I mean, Cherry Stag.
Cherry Stag.
You know, because you are Cherry Stag. You can borrow that name until I come to England and reclaim it.
I'll sew it into all my clothes.
Is it possible for the Welsh to... Do you think will the Welsh ever attack the English, or is that just not going to happen anymore? Oh. You know?
I don't think it would go well.
I want to start some trouble.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is go to Wales and get everybody all whipped up and then attack England with them.
I mean, you give it a go. Give it a try.
Give it a go. Oh, I'm really scared that Prince Harry and his helicopter is going to get me. No, that's not going
to
happen.
Do you think you can, like, you can impassion people to
yeah,
go
I was
attack?
To, I was literally going to ask, what would you say to impassion
I know,
us?
What are you
oh,
gonna...
I'd say, oh, ye men of Wales.
Already I'm out.
Oh, ye men of Wales. I mean, I'd have to learn some of the lingo, right?
Oh, have you been to Wales before?
No, I haven't.
So, have you never seen any kind of Welsh language words?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I have, actually. I thought I've used them sometimes in Scrabble. I just drop all the tiles in random order, and I say that's what the Welsh call a guinea pig. And and then I hide the dictionary as best I can.
You guys aren't big on vowels there, are you?
No. Lots of L's, lots of F's, very few vowels.
Yeah. Maybe one of the reasons you're so angry at the English is that they introduced A, E, I, O, and U.
Although you guys would save a lot of money on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, boy. Oh.
What? I'm not sure.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I don't know. Jack, would I be accepted by people in Abingdon on Thames? Were I to come? Would I be accepted?
Would you be accepted?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
Wait a minute.
That doesn't sound very sure.
Yeah, that was not a ringing endorsement. how would my sense of humor go over in Abingdon on Thames?
I think it depends where in Abingdon you are.
It's probably three streets. What do you mean where in Abingdon I am? It's not like saying where in North America you are.
Are there older people who are going to look at him and just be like, who, why is this here?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We have kind of, you know, maybe some more kind of what I would call Tories. Maybe not being quite inclined.
Oh, but what if they saw me? I'm very good at Dick Van Dyke, some Dick Van Dyke songs from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Would that go over well?
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Older people love that shit.
They do.
I mean, the thing about the ukulele group I'm a part of.
Oh, man, you keep working that in.
Yeah, you gotta plug it. Gotta plug it. I am the youngest one. A lot of people are a lot older in that group.
Right. But let's say I was to do my shtick from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for them. Do you think they would like it?
What's your shtick?
You want to hear it?
Depends. Well,
it's the posh, posh traveling knife, the traveling knife for me. First cabin, captain's quarters, real company. Port up, starboard down, port with a capital P. L-S-H, posh. Wow. What do you think?
I'm speechless.
We all are. All of us.
They'd probably be fooled into thinking I really was from Abingdon, wouldn't they, if they heard that?
Well, here's a fun... Gawley would probably find this interesting.
Oh, good.
In Fleming...
well, I can leave.
In Ian Fleming used to live that far from here at one point.
Oh, yeah, that is big. Wow. So yeah. Is there any kind of monument to him or just an old like cauldron
no, not
of
really.
Vodka and cigarettes?
It's kind of it's just a house in the kind of the middle of nowhere between here and another place called Henley. It's
Henley on the Thames.
Big house. Yeah.
I've heard of that.
And also on Thames.
Yeah.
So we kind of have that sort of connection.
Okay.
I don't think Ian Fleming wrote the songs, but I like to think he did.
Jack, can you go just like carve out a sliver of timber from that cottage and just send it to me? Oh, is that possible?
I'll try and get through security. I don't know
how
long you
do me a favor. Could you go to the nearest petrol station and rob them and then send me the cash? It's a very reasonable request.
I feel like this is becoming a catchphrase, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah, give it a go. Well, Jack, very nice talking to you. Did you have a question for me or is there anything I can do for you? I like to try and help my fellow man.
I have a question, yes.
Sure.
It's kind of like a question that will have two answers. Where is the best and where is the worst place you have slept?
Whoa.
Oh. Okay.
And that's a question for everyone.
Uh-oh. Jesus. Best place I've slept? You were telling Gorley was telling an anecdote here on the podcast a couple of months ago. I got some of the best sleep I've ever had in my life. It was fantastic. I nodded off and it was
online. I just got what you're doing.
No, best place I've ever slept. I'm going to say probably someplace on a Caribbean island. The air there is so perfect. I just nod off. Some of the best sleep I've had in my life has been when I'm visiting someplace in the Caribbean. It's something about that moist air. One of the worst places I have ever slept was in a tent in New Hampshire. And it was a tent from the 1940s. And it rained. And it's in no way. The water passed right through it. And I slept in a puddle of water.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't really sleep. But it was cold water. And I slept in it all night long. And I just hated life. So, that's my answer for you.
Yeah.
That's great. I once slept in Alaska without a sleeping bag in a tent. That was pretty grim.
Why didn't you bring a sleeping bag?
It got lost on the flight over.
And you still went camping.
Yeah.
So still went camping, yeah.
You didn't
Why not? Take
think
the gamble.
Maybe I'll borrow a sleeping bag from some...
Get a new one at Walmart.
Go to the hotel.
Didn't really... We were in like North Alaska. I didn't know what was going on.
Sure. Who knew that North Alaska would be cold? Well, Jack, I judge you a fine man who's got bad geographical knowledge. But that's all I'll say. Maybe we'll cross paths in Abingdon on Thames. That could be nice.
Yeah, more than welcome.
Well, you didn't make it sound
all
way.
Three. All three of you.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, cool. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, okay. You just
do we have to come at the same time?
Yeah.
Matt and I come separately?
Yeah. Can we come ahead and then get out?
We have a thing where we don't travel together. The way you and I can't be in the same country at the same time.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Jack, well, thank you very much. It was nice talking to you.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And thank you to everyone like Lisa and Blair Eduardo. They've all been really
great. No, not Eduardo.
Great. Oh, so thank you.
Eduardo. Yeah, not Eduardo.
Yeah. Bad thank guy. You, Eduardo.
No.
He's not even here today.
He's not here today. He's that bad a guy. All right, Jack, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. With Conan O'Brien, Sonam Avsesian, and Matt Gorley. Produced by me, Matt Gorley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Music by Jimmy Vivino. Supervising producer, Aaron Blair. Associate talent producer, Jennifer Samples. Associate producers, Sean Doherty and Lisa Berm. Engineering by Eduardo Perez. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.